I forgot to mention that this week we're celebrating the 20-year anniversary of Radio Real Estate, started November 15th, 1998. The journey began. Joining me is a former city councilman, a former mayoral candidate, and now a formal Santa Barbarian. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Frank Hotchkiss.
Hey, Mark. Thanks very much. Nice to talk to you. And while I think of it, say hi to Richard, your engineer, for me.
And I will do that. Oh, so maybe you met him when you were coming on during the election?
Oh, all the time. A bunch of stuff.
Because I never have people who are running, because then you got to have everybody and it becomes a political football. But
right.
I enjoyed having people on after they lose, because then they have nothing to, you know, they're not coming on to pimp themselves. They just want to talk about what happened. So they were welcoming you. So you termed out as a city councilman, so then you ran for mayor?
I was going to be termed out and ran for mayor in my last term and was beaten by, came in second to Kathy Barrio.
And was it close?
No. I had a, what do I want to say, a split party guy named Angel, or Angel, I guess he pronounced it, Martinez, kind of took some of the cream off the top with some business types. And I think if that hadn't happened, it would have certainly been much closer and maybe I would have won. But I didn't, and that's water over the dam, so that's fine.
Yeah, well, there's maybe where you're living, there's no water here.
yeah.
You moved to Savannah, Georgia. You sent me some pictures that actually depicted water, which I thought was really salt on the wound. And I do want to hear a little bit about Savannah. So you came in second. There was another guy running. Were there more than three people running?
Yeah, no, there were five people. Bendy White, Martinez, myself, Al Conklin, and Kathy Murillo.
Oh, I forgot about Al Conklin. So you think if it was just you and Kathy Murillo, maybe totaling up some of those other votes might have gone your way?
Yeah, it would have been a lot closer. We were the chief candidates, and I just had the rug pulled out from under me a little bit by some former supporters and friends. But that was okay, because I think when I wanted to do and what I could do had been done by the time that I got termed out.
Oh, so you feel, how long were you on the council?
8 years.
So you feel like you had, I don't want to say agenda because that sounds negative, but you had things you wanted to do and you got things done during those 8 years?
Yeah, sure. We got the RVs off Cabrillo. We got the golf course privatized and sort of saved it. Otherwise, it was just a kind of financial black hole. There were some other important things. One of the things I thought was most important, if I can ramble on here, is that they came up with, in conjunction with gay marriage, we had the Chick-fil-A was putting an installation, a store out on Upper State Street, and they wanted a minor change. Everything had sailed through. And then it was became national news that one of their top guys, can't remember his name now, had donated funds to the traditional marriage forum. And so our guys at the ABR, at least one who was gay, said, I'm not going to approve anything these guys want to do. And he got the rest of the ABR to either abstain or go along with him. And to its credit, the council, left, right, and center, universally and in unanimity, said, no, you can't do that. You cannot make a decision based on the politics of the person that's approaching you. It has to be totally devoted to the merit of the project itself. And, you know, that was an important thing. And then
we're in 2018, the ending of 2018. That was, what, 3-4 years ago?
I think 2.5, maybe 3 years ago.
I remember that. You know, if it happened today, boy, things have really changed. Things are, there'd be... It's gotten so confrontational. I don't know what would happen today.
Well, and it was to some degrees confrontational back then, but we saw universally, as I said, the merits or the lack of merit of making any kind of judgment on a political basis like that. Think about it. That's what happened in Germany in the early 1930s. So we've called it out as a step towards tyranny, and everybody agreed. So, in fact, the city then retrained all its boards and commissions to make that very point, that your attention is to the project before you, not what you think about the politics of who may be presenting it.
My guest is Frank Hotchkiss, former city councilman for 8 years, former mayoral candidate, and now former Santa Barbarian. And you mentioned that one of the things you did was privatize, save the municipal golf course. You said it became a black hole. Was that like the 19th hole? What's the black hole?
We were losing money, and there was the danger of losing the golf course, and I think we saved it that way.
Remember that guy? There was a story down at the is it the Cabrillo Art Center where we had the MLS meetings, and
right.
There was a restaurant down below that had been there forever, and somehow he was not going to be able to keep his lease, and all his friends tried to petition. And do you remember that?
I do remember that, and it was a little misrepresented in the press. The city really bent over backwards to help him, and he had presented a business plan, and the city said, well, okay, based on this business plan, we'll do it, and therefore you got to guarantee so much back to the city. And at that point, as I remember, he said, well, no, I really can't do that. And we said, as you would in any negotiation, if you can't stand by what you're putting on the table, if you can't stand behind it, how can we deal with that? And then that was misrepresented as sort of giving this guy a hard time. I don't remember what the outcome was of that, but the city negotiators really were badly represented, particularly in the Independent. I think it's one of the times where Nick Welch got it wrong.
One of the things that happened, I don't know how long ago, was that, before I ask you that, I was going to talk about the change from at-large to district voting.
Right.
Just quickly, when you ran for mayor,
right.
That was when?
Last year.
Just last year, just in 2017. So it had already changed, but for mayor, the at-large and district doesn't count, or what?
Oh, no. What happened is, the way it works, when I first two times I was elected, we ran at-large. Then during my second term, the state imposed a sort of formula that said, well, if you don't have certain minorities on well-represented on the city council, then that's because you're voting at-large, and it's unfair to those minorities, so we'll split it up, and you'll have districts that will recognize minority populations. All that sounds good, but the problem is that, first off, those prejudicial conditions didn't really exist in Santa Barbara. The formula, I think, was badly applied. And but on the positive side, you could say that district elections allow much smaller campaigns. In other words, instead of $80,000 to run, because you don't have to go to the whole population of the city, the voting population. You only got to go to, God, I don't know, sometimes as little as 2,000 people. So it opens up the opportunities for election to a broader group.
And that is a good thing.
But that is a good thing. The other thing is, on the negative side, is that you sort of balkanize the population, and people are therefore standing up or representing, let's say, the Upper East or San Roque or Riviera, and those needs are quite different than the West Side, for instance. So it tends to put people, I think, at loggerheads. I don't know if it's worked out that way, but that's certainly an argument against being a district.
And my understanding is the state didn't actually force Santa Barbara to do it, but different cities, municipalities, were given the parameters, and then if they didn't change, they were always threatened to be sued. and fear right. of the lawsuit, then they went ahead and changed it over.
Right. And Ariel Colon said, if we don't do this, we get sued. It's going to cost us a bunch of money, $1 million or something. So we better do this. I assume he was correct. But anyway, that's what happened.
Yeah, it's complicated. And I see the pros and I see the cons. It does. What was the word you used? Vulcanized?
Vulcanized, yeah, because it's kind of divides the city up into the Vulcan areas.
Did you get that from Star Trek? Where'd you get that from? My guest is Frank Hotchkiss. Can I make
got that from World War One, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was the Balkans that dragged everybody into World War One.
Oh, of course. And I was just—I should have just hearing about the 100-year anniversary. We just finished 11/11/11. 11, you know, from 1918, 100 years old. Yep. And, yeah, an amazing. Of course, now with Veterans Day, and it's just, so much going on. So Frank Hotchkiss, can I make fun of your name?
Yeah, please do.
Well, when you were a kid, what did they call you?
Oh God, I don't even want to go into that. Yeah, that just invites all sorts of commentary, which I fortunately nobody ever picked up on when I was in Santa Barbara running for office.
Well, that's good, and as well, you were a real estate agent, primarily with Sotheby's.
Right, but before that was Pitts and Bachman, and then they sold themselves to Sotheby's, and then at the end, I was with Village.
What year did you get your license? Santa Barbara.
God, I think 2002 or 2003, pretty early on.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't have guessed that Pitts and Bachman was still around then. I wonder when they actually sold out.
I don't recall.
I started in 1988, and they were very strong. In the early 80s, I sold them a photocopier when I was working for Savin Copiers.
Uh-huh.
Walking around selling copiers to lawyers and real estate agents, and sold one to Steve Schmidt, and he said, "What are you doing selling copiers? You should become a real estate agent. I'll pay for your schooling." And 3 years later, I came back, and he did, 4 years.
Good, great.
So I was thinking something benign like hopscotch for Hotchkiss, but we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's see. So we ended up going into the at-large and district. My concern about it is, yes, separates and make into different groups. Now, of course, on the one hand, though, that's a positive. You want different groups represented.
Right.
But I wonder if you could go back and look at city council decisions and say, see, this was done, this was against minorities, this was against people underrepresented because we had at-large elections. I don't know. I mean, they sue a city and they come up with examples. That's how cities lose. I don't know if a city has ever won when someone challenged them and forced them. Do you?
No, probably not. No, probably not. One thing, though, I think is obviously a weakness is that somebody can be elected to a very responsible position, that is the city council, with as few as 1,000 or 1,200 votes, whereas before it required 6,000 to 8,000. So you had to really have a more universal appeal, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, broader appeal. And again, someone on the other side will probably say, yeah, well, that's the problem with it. But I kind of lean towards what you're saying. Certainly a lot has gone on since the new mayor came into place. Some big things. In fact, you wrote a letter to the editor. This might be a time to take a commercial break.
Okay.
And we'll come back with former city councilman, former mayoral candidate, former Santa Barbarian, Frank Hotchkiss. We'll talk about some things that have happened since he lost the mayoral election. We've had plastic straws and Columbus Day. You actually wrote a letter to the editor. Do you get the newspaper online? The news press?
Yeah, no, it's fun. I do. I check in actually every day with NewsHawk and the news press just to see what's happening with my friends because I know so many people there and often they appear in print, as it were, and I just like to keep up with things.
Well, I read your letter to the editor in the Santa Barbara News Press on Columbus Day, so we've got things to talk about, some changes. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about any national election results, but I do want to also talk about your book. So we got a lot on the docket for the next segment with Frank Hotchkiss. Stay tuned. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned this, but we're having the 20-year anniversary of Radio Real Estate. Started the show program November 15th, 1998.